Good morning, everyone. One thing I'll say, and Sue, I want you to make a note of this. Steve did preach recently on that perfect, that being perfect, right? And you said we can never be perfect. Well, just let me clarify that. Your flesh will never be perfect, but you are commanded to be perfect. And so that is one of those distinctions that gets lost. A lot of people don't understand it. And sometimes you get it for a week and then you lose it again. But that is an important distinction that we need to walk in and understand. And I'm asking you to find that message that Steve preached. And when you post our service, please reference that message with a link to it, so that it is another easily available thing. And maybe even we can talk about getting that link to the web, to the homepage or something, that's an important message that people have access to, quick access to. Okay. So I want to go back to something Brother Phil said, and he definitely got around to it sort of at the end of his message. But in the beginning of the message, he was talking in generalities of they and those people and et cetera. And I want to really drill it down to be more specific. You. And what he was talking about is people don't want to experience judgment. They don't want to see the truth of their heart. They don't want to they would rather want to justify themselves and make excuses for themselves. And I'm just going to bring this down to just where the rubber meets the road here. You don't want judgment. You don't want to bring your heart to the Lord. You want to justify yourself. Now, how can I say this? Every tree is going to bear its fruit. What is in your heart, you are going to live out. And I don't think I'll have a really long message today. It's probably going to be pretty short. There's been so much for so many years and for so long that we, myself, you all, have been challenged to do, challenged to believe, challenged to put off that old man, that unbelief, that doubt, and challenged to put on the new man, the mind of Christ, the judgment of Christ, the will of Christ, the mind of Christ. Did I say that twice? Might have. It's that important. Paul says over to the Philippians, let me get there real quick so I read it and don't screw it up. So over here in Philippians, he says, this is chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I want to look at that just for a moment. Work out your own salvation. And here's the question. What are you waiting for? I'm not going to talk about other ministries, other churches, other whatever. I'm talking about you. What are you waiting for? You have before you every promise of the Lord. that he has ever given you. And you have the lie of the enemy. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for someone to come along and join you on your little trip? Well, when you stand before God, who's standing with you? Is your daughter standing with you? What about your wife or your husband or your best friend or, you know, that person down the street or whatever? Are they standing with you? Who's standing with you? You are standing with you. And you are standing before God, naked and exposed, without any means of self-justification. And if that is how you are going to meet Jesus, wouldn't you want to just deal with that now? Because that's what's been on offer for the last forever. That's what's been there. It's been right there. It's the opportunity to get all that sorted out now and walk with God now and walk in the kingdom of God now and walk in the power of God now, not tomorrow. Not a week from now, not 6 months from now, once you've sort of got it. No, it's right now. Right now. Victory doesn't have to be tomorrow. Victory can be right now. Right now. Deliverance doesn't have to be tomorrow. It can be right now. Freedom doesn't have to be tomorrow. It can be right now. Jesus says he has come to set the captives free. You are quite literally standing in a jail cell with the door wide open and you're asking yourself, do I walk through it? Yeah. To stay where you are is death and torture and misery and destruction. Or walk through the door. What are you waiting for? Last week I talked about the sword is coming. It is. And there are lives right now that hang in the balance. And I don't count myself exempt from that. Because like you, I also have to choose to walk through the door. And I can profess and confess and all kinds of things, but you know what's really going to determine whether or not I walk through the door? My choices. And it's going to be evident. Now, I have chosen to walk through the door, and I have, at every turn I take, and I see that I've yet got that bastion of unbelief and doubt and pride and stuff, I yet, like Brother Steve was saying, take the helmet and bash its head in. So it's a continuous journey to choose that path. But if you're still fixing to get ready, my question to you is why? Why? Because if you're waiting for someone else to come along to help you or join you or whatever the thing is, it reminds me of, you know, high school days where to be the one out in front you know, charting the course was, that was an oddity. Everybody wanted to follow somebody else doing it. You get 10 or 12 people doing the same thing. Okay, well, let's go do that. But for an individual to just step out and do that unique thing, a right thing, that was an oddity. That didn't happen all the time. Well, what are you waiting for? Are you still stuck in those days where you need 10 or 15, 20 people to go with you so you overcome that fear? And it's just all nonsense. What are you afraid of? What has you chained up in your mind? It gets to the point, we have a, how old are you now, 10? I forget. She's 10. And it gets to the point, as we work to discipline her, to teach her in the way she should go and direct her to the Lord and deal with all the things that a 10-year-old has that's of the world and not of God. At some point, it gets to be like you're beating a dead horse. And it really comes down to her, and whether or not, I'm speaking of my daughter, whether or not she's just going to choose to do what's right. Because I can make all manner of consequences. And short of, you know, what the Old Testament says, go out and stone them, I don't know what else is the ultimate consequence. But at some point, she's got to decide to do what's right. I can't force her to do what's right. She has to choose it. She's 10, and we have a lot of influence in helping her decide what's right. We apply that influence whenever necessary. But at some point, she's going to have to choose what's right. And I hear the messages that we've had for years. And there's been a lot of influence applied on us to do what is right. There has been consequences applied on us to do what is right. There has been sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon after message after Bible study after for years. And there's, and if you look at your life and ask the Lord to show you, Lord, show me the consequences of my bad decisions and where you have tried to speak to me about my heart and my mind and where I've been and the, He will, and He'll show you. But like with my 10-year-old that has to choose to do what's right, not because of the consequences, just because it's right. You need to choose what's right. You need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because you will stand before God one day. And He's going to ask you this question. Did you believe? Now, if you ask your question, if you ask yourself that question right now, what's your answer? Do you believe? Now, the Bible has all kinds of things that are in there that if we believe are going to be part of our lives. They're going to be a naturally occurring fruit of the Spirit of God in us. And if those aren't evident in you, if those aren't part of your daily existence, guess what? I don't care how much you say, Jesus, I love you, or how much you say you believe God, it's just not true. It's just not. When Sue was talking about her getting honest with the Lord, maybe for the first time in her entire life, about the fact that she doesn't want to do the Lord's will and she has no desire to, and she's really rather do her own thing. That was probably a very difficult reality for you to finally accept. Amen? Am I correct? Still is, she says. But rather come to grips with that now then as you stand before the Lord and face judgment. Because that is what's coming. When I say the sword is coming, there are those that are going to face God very soon. I pray that you and me deal with this stuff now so that when we do face him, we don't hear, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, but we rather hear, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Now, you may have been struggling for years. You may have been You may be incredibly discouraged right now. But that in and of itself is a lie of the enemy. Brother Phil, I think, was talking about the children of Israel when they were gone over and crossed over Jordan. They kick butt in Jericho and they come up against Ai and they get their butts kicked. Because there was iniquity in the camp and God was not with them. And they could have gotten very discouraged and they could have just walked away and said, well, it was a fluke. Jericho was a fluke. It didn't really happen. Or it happened, but, you know, oh gosh, it was the vibration of our continuous marching that weakened the wall and they fell down. And no, it was the hand of God. Don't get discouraged. Rather, turn in and seek the judgment of the Lord. So that thing, that cursed thing, can get addressed and you can get free of it and then walk in the victory of God. Amen? God wasn't going to remain in a place. He wasn't going to justify their rebellion and their iniquity and their sin. Get rid of the sin. Guess what? Let's go kick some butt, guys. And what is that sin in you? Oh, you can run a laundry list and there are places that will give you their top 10. I'm just going to give you two. Pride and unbelief. Pride and unbelief. And they really, boy, do they go hand in hand with each other. They're almost two sides of the same coin. What was it that cast Lucifer out of heaven? Pride and unbelief. What was it that got Adam hung up in the garden? Pride and unbelief. What was it that brought Cain to kill Abel? Pride and unbelief. What is it that short circuits your life and your walk with God? Pride and unbelief. If you're willing to bring that stuff to the judgment of the Lord, as Brother Steve was talking about, and crave it, then you can get free of that now. Now, not tomorrow, now, right now. Right now. That is the gift of God that stands before you this very moment. And it's not dependent on six other friends coming along with you. It's not dependent on your wife agreeing with you, or your husband agreeing with you, or your children agreeing with you, or your sister, or your brother, or your best friend. It's not dependent on any of them agreeing with you and cheering you on. It's dependent on you choosing God. If you go over to Ephesians, it talks about them electing God. And each one of those that Paul's referring to came to a place of decision where they elected God, chose God. that's where you stand right now. And I hope and pray that you choose God. I can't make you. Brother Steve can't make you. Brother Phil can't make you. I can't make Sue. I can't make Naomi. They have to choose the Lord for themselves. They have to themselves work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. The Lord has made a way, and he's destroyed the hold of the enemy, and you are free if you choose to be free. And I pray that you do choose to be free. That's going to be it for us this morning. I pray you guys take to heart the messages that you're hearing today and the messages that have been preached over the last, well, forever. I mean, goodness. There are things that come up where I remember my dad. You know the beautiful thing about what we have from Brother Davey? Do you know how many sermons we have from Brother Davey archived? There's a lot. I haven't counted them all, but there's a lot. We have so much. So much right at our fingertips. So much right there. I mean, we have the Word of God, and I'm going on again. I apologize. I said I was going to quit, but that's a preacher's prerogative. I mean, we have the Word of God in written form on everywhere at our disposal. We have the messages from the Apostle of the Church of Philadelphia available all the time, just right there, just there. Click a button there. We have messages from Brother Steve. We have messages from Brother Paul. We have God's Word delivered to us for many, 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 many years. Right there. You get discouraged. You get like you don't know what to do. I bet you we've covered it. I bet you it's been covered. Pretty sure it has been. Maybe once or maybe twice. You just got to come to the light. All right, I really am done. All right, guys, thank you for listening. I ask that you please stay with us here on the Eagle Radio, as we will be having the Texas service in a little over an hour. I guess that's it. May the Lord bless you.